is time to talk to our financial planner, Brad Graber. Brad, good morning.
Good morning, Kelly.
Hey, by the way, before we, I don't want to make people wait to the end of our segment this morning, but I want to let all of you know up front, I know that a lot of you have been encouraged by what you've heard Brad share over the last several months, and you can always go to his website and learn a whole lot more, too. In fact, Brad, in just a second, I'm going to ask you to share a little bit about the bootcamp series that you have posted. I know we've mentioned it before, but I know we have new people listening, too, that would really benefit, but check it out at investingintruth.com. Brad, bootcamp, you got 30 seconds. Tell us what it is.
All right. So Financial Boot Camp is kind of a labor of love for me in trying to teach or at least put together a logical progression through Scripture on our view for money. And so if you go to my website, I have a tab that's labeled Financial Boot Camp. And I typically teach this as a year-long course. So if somebody wants to go in and start reading one article a month that I have posted, there's a lesson that is each month's series of lessons, and inside of it you'll find about four or five articles depending on the month. And if you start at the very beginning, it'll start building that foundation on Scripture, and then as the progression goes, we start applying that Scripture, especially as we get in the second half of the year. How do we apply that foundational lesson on money in Scripture to all the things that we're wrestling with today? So that takes us all the way to today's topic, which was one of those second half lessons where we're trying to apply Scripture to how we're living out our life.
Yeah, because today we're talking about work, God's gift to man. And I kind of had to giggle a little bit as I was reading through this article that you posted, Brad. Work is often referred to as a four-letter word and seen as a necessary evil that we want to rid ourselves of as quickly as possible. And I think in our country, too, we really focus a lot on the date that we're going to get to retire and not have to work anymore. But work is biblical. It's mandated by God. Explain what you meant by it's his gift to us.
Well, that actually comes from Scripture. So I finish up this article with Ecclesiastes 3:13 that says, everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. So it's a biblical thing. And, you know, as we go through this, you'll see more and more how God uses work in our lives to refine us, to demonstrate his character, all those things.
That is amazing to me how he really can use anything at all to get us where we need to go and to strengthen our walk with Christ. And especially when you start to look at the principles of work. And I love these that you've laid out. And for those of you listening this morning, too, we're kind of going to turn this subject into a two-parter. So you'll hear part of it today and the rest of it on next Tuesday. But I want to talk about those principles of work that you've laid out, Brad, because you do take us right back to Scripture, starting with you are always working for God.
Yeah, so this one we take from, one of the places we take it from is Colossians 3. It says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. So again, our motivation, so many times we get narrow focused, and we just look at the job in front of us and we think, you know, we dread it. We can just see a lot of bad things about it. But we need to always reflect back on what's the bigger purpose here and how can I glorify God and how am I glorifying God through the work that I'm doing today. And that involves how it affects the people around us, how it ultimately affects our customers. There are so many different ways that we are demonstrating basically God's character in the way that we're working.
Yeah, it is.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Brad. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say it takes us back to the very nature of work in that we are reflecting God's character. God created, God worked 6 days, rested on the seventh. There's so many things about God's character that is demonstrated just in the fact that we're doing work alone, you know, even aside from what the particulars are of the work that we're doing.
And what is amazing to me is that in doing our work and representing him as we do it and remembering that this is why we're there, the impact we can have on people who don't even know Christ just because of how we're handling ourselves on the job.
That's right. Yeah, and you think about that. If we set a good example in the way that we're working, others around us see it too, and they see that we're different than the other people may be. So it just starts to open those doors to be able to build relationships too.
You also talk about respecting your employer, and I want you to share more on that, too, because I can think back to my very first job. I worked in a fast food restaurant. I was a teenager, and if I could have known then what I feel like I've learned and know now about the Lord, that would have made so much more of a difference because we had multiple managers, and to be perfectly honest, some of them I loved, and some of them I said, oh, no, they're working today. Is there any way I can get out of this shift?
You know? Yeah, it's not always the easiest thing, is it? But yet,
no.
We're commanded to do that. So Ephesians 6, verses 5 to 8 tells us, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. So again, it takes it back to serving Christ, not serving the employer, but we're honoring Christ by the way that we serve that employer. And 1 Peter 2:18 tells us, servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. So now it gets a little bit harder. We're supposed to honor them. We're supposed to serve them with respect, and not just the good ones, but also the bad ones. So that makes it a whole lot harder, doesn't it?
It does. But then you also turn around and you say to the employers, respect your employees.
Yeah, so I read Ephesians 6, 5 through 8 on respecting your employer, and that's finished up with verse 9 that says, masters, do the same to them. And stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there will be no partiality with him. So, yeah, it's the responsibility also goes back to the employer. And so employers need to be paying a fair wage. They need to be treating people with respect and dignity who are working for them. So it's not the slave driver. That's not the role you should be playing. You should be treating your employees as stewards, basically, looking at them as God's creation. There's value in the people that are working for you from a creation standpoint even, and we honor God by honoring our employees as well.
You know, there are temptations, I know, Brad, in every job everywhere to cut corners and maybe not do things, I don't want to say always, not necessarily above board. We need to be honest in our dealings, and you talk about that too, but sometimes we might think, well, I can compromise this little bit. It's really not going to impact anybody, and I might save some money here or save some effort there. Talk about being honest in your dealings.
Yeah, and that's a common temptation that we have. So we want to be efficient. We want to be able to provide whatever we're trying to accomplish, whether that's to a customer, whether that's to our employer. We want to do it as efficiently as we can and as least cost as we can. But are we doing it honestly? So Proverbs 20:17 says, bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be full of gravel. And then Proverbs 11:18 tells us, the wicked earns deceptive wages, but one who sows righteousness gets a sure reward. So we see this played out, you know, several different ways, and we need to make sure that we're not cheating our customers in order to try to make a greater profit. But as employees, we also need to realize that we can't cheat our employers by not doing the work that we're being paid for and still trying to collect a full paycheck.
Well, and you know, too, you also talk about paying a fair wage, and I think it's interesting the point that you just made, because how can you as an employee not do everything that is expected of you and do it above board and honor God in so doing, and then if you don't do that, expect a fair wage? I mean, you're also displaying Christ to your employer, whether your employer is a Christ follower or not.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and we'll get to this in the next 2 points, really. So 1 Timothy 5:18 says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain, and the laborer deserves his wages. So right there, it's telling us that the person that's working for you deserves their wages. So employers always need to be paying a fair wage for the work that's being done for them. And if we're not paying our employees fully for the work that they're doing, then really we're stealing from them. We're asking them to provide us for something that we're not willing to compensate them for.
Now, you also talk about not feeling entitled. Share more on that.
Yeah, so here's the other side of it. And from this one, we learn from Proverbs 13:4 and the example of the sluggard. And it says, the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. And there's lots of lessons can be learned from the sluggard. And they're never good examples, by the way. But basically what we're learning here is that employees should not demand a wage that's greater than they deserve. And when it gets down to this whole discussion of how much should we be paying our employees, employees also need to have that responsibility of looking at the work that they're doing, thinking of it through the employer's eyes. And from an economical standpoint, an employee should always be adding more value to the employer than what they're being paid to provide. And the reason is, if we're not adding value to the employer over the cost of hiring us, then there's no reason for them to hire us, because that's what our job is actually for. We're supposed to be doing work, providing them with more value so that they, in the end, have profits to be able to pay us our wage and grow the business ultimately. And as you look at that, it's not just the wage that we're getting paid in our paycheck either. So there are always additional costs, whether that's benefits, healthcare, taxes, things like that, that the employer is also paying on our behalf. So when we look at whether it's our salary or an hourly wage, we can't just say, oh, well, that's the number that we need to be earning and providing for our employer. It's actually a bigger number than that. And I think that's what often gets missed in these discussions is looking both ways. The employer has to look at the employee and make sure we're compensating them for what they're doing. But the employee also needs to be, in a Christ-like way, reflecting on the value that they're adding to the employer and saying, am I worth more than what I'm providing for them? And you know what? Asking for a raise is not too hard when you've made yourself completely indispensable to the employer. Because when you're adding value to the company above what you're costing the company, it's going to be awful hard to let you go, too.
Oh, man. You know, there is so much meat to this article, Listening Family. We'll tell you in just a minute where you can find it in full. And we're going to pick up this conversation next week again, too, because there is so much that we want to share with you. But, Brad, before we let you get off the phone, I wanted to jump ahead just a little bit to one more point that you make in this first section of what you've written. And it kind of goes along with what you just said. Great skill will be noticed.
Yeah, Proverbs 22:29 gives us a principle on this. It says, do you see someone skilled in their work? They will serve before kings. And that's one of those things we always have to remember as employees, too. We're working ultimately for God. And are we giving our best effort? Are we improving the skills that we have? And while we may be working for an employer that we would say is not a good employer, or they're not the most kind, or they're not acting always in a Christian manner, but are we always providing our best effort? Are we gaining in our skill? And even if it's not recognized by that person, ultimately it's going to be recognized and rewarded. And even if not by man, ultimately it's going to be recognized and rewarded by God.
And, you know, we've got that paycheck, too, that's going to be coming. And that's the thing that we talk a lot about with you, Brad, is how to responsibly handle the compensation that we're given, because God provides all that we are given. And we're just stewards of it. And we do need to give back and manage it well for the kingdom. So it all works together. And I love this article. Listening family, we will pick this conversation up again next week. I cannot believe we're already out of time, Brad. But tell us where on the website to find this particular article that you've posted.
Yeah, and this one is in Financial Bootcamp Lesson 9 as we start getting into the idea of saving, retirement, those things. But I'm also going to just adjust it right now and make sure it's tagged to the front page of my website as well. So as soon as you go to investingintruth.com, here in just a few minutes, you should be able to see it posted on the front page.